Welcome to The Record for this Monday, April the 9th. I'm Marcy Silman. I'm in this week for Bill Radke. You can listen along on the radio or follow us on Twitter, hashtag KOW Record. Coming up this hour, we're going to remember the Reverend Samuel B. McKinney. He passed away over the weekend. We're also going to consider the legacy of the very much alive artist Michael Spafford. But first, Mr. Zuckerberg goes to Washington. Last week, we learned that the data of 87 million Facebook users was exposed to a political consulting firm without their explicit consent. Now, Facebook's CEO will testify before Congress tomorrow about that breach. Here to talk about what we can expect from those hearings is Will Oremus. He's the senior technology writer at Slate. Hi, Will.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So what can KOW listeners expect to hear tomorrow when we carry these hearings live?
Well, Facebook has gone ahead and released the transcript of Zuckerberg's opening remarks, and he's going to be saying pretty much what he's been saying for the past 2 weeks to media outlets around the country, which is, we're sorry, we didn't do enough to protect users' information. We have a series of proposals to fix these types of loopholes that let Cambridge Analytica get a hold of people's data without their consent or without their understanding. And we can take it from here. You know, we're going to take responsibility and we'll fix it and don't worry. I think that's going to be his basic message.
So that's his message. Who will he be questioned by?
Well, he's going to be questioned pretty aggressively, I think, by people on both sides of the aisle. The first testimony will be before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We're going to have Democratic representatives who are demanding to know how Facebook got this powerful and how it has, why it has been able to degrade Democratic discourse. And people on the Democratic side are particularly upset because some of them blame Facebook for Donald Trump's election, to be frank. And they are angry at the company in a way that they haven't been over past privacy violations. This is obviously not the first time that Facebook has done something that angered people on the privacy front. But the political, the partisan dimension to it with its influence in the election is definitely aggravating the anger on the left. On the right, I think a lot of people are suspicious of Silicon Valley. It's a Democratic stronghold. They're suspicious of these companies having so much data on users, and it goes against, in some cases at least, it goes against Republican representatives' views on privacy and individual agency. So he's definitely going to be getting it from both sides.
I was going to say, nobody's a friend right now. Now you can unite on this one thing: we don't like Facebook.
Right. And I think we will see a lot of grandstanding to that effect. I think we'll see a lot of representatives standing up there and demanding to know, how could you do this? How could you violate our trust? That will look good to their constituents. I don't know that we will see a lot of productive legislation coming out of this. I mean, this is not a Congress that has shown a great ability to work across the aisle to develop meaningful reforms on any front, even on issues where there should be bipartisan consensus, like requiring disclosures in political advertising. It's not clear that the one piece of legislation on the table right now that would affect Facebook, which is the Honest Ads Act, it's not clear that that actually stands a great chance of passing, despite Facebook itself now coming out and saying they'll support it.
Will Oremus, we know Mark Zuckerberg is not a guy who likes the limelight at all. Nobody has forced him to go to Congress. He wasn't subpoenaed. So why do you think he agreed to go testify?
Yeah, he, as you mentioned, he prefers to be behind the scenes building stuff, orchestrating stuff, trying new things, making Facebook bigger, getting into new product spaces like virtual reality. He has been at last forced into this role of figurehead and public face and apologist in chief for Facebook. It's not a role in which he's a natural. He doesn't possess the greatest natural social grace. He sometimes runs into trouble because he has a view of the world that conflicts with other people's views, and he is not always great at conveying empathy for different ways of seeing things. He really has been working on that, and he will be very prepared coming in here. I think one skill he's certainly developed over time is the ability to stick to his script and to quickly pivot back to his prepared remarks whenever a question threatens to throw him off.
As I understand it, he's been prepping a lot in-house with folks. But I'm wondering how much the tanking stock value of Facebook has forced him really to go public.
I think that has certainly ratcheted the pressure up a notch. I actually don't think that the stock price is Facebook's primary motivator. Zuckerberg has an unusual luxury among executives of major companies. He holds a controlling stake in Facebook. He is not quite answerable to his own board in the way most CEOs are. And that has its good sides and its bad sides. I mean, it means that Facebook really is, in a real sense, Zuckerberg Inc. He is the dictator of Facebook, and a dictator for life of Facebook, right, if he chooses to be. But at the same time, I think they do have some serious long-term worries. One of the biggest that gets underrated is losing the morale of their own employees. Facebook relies on attracting really talented engineers, beating out rivals like Google and Twitter and startups for their talent, and then keeping them working really hard with the idea that they are improving the world. They're connecting the people, making it a more open and better place. If they lose that faith that they're working for some greater good, Facebook will not be the fast-moving, dynamic company that it is today. That might be the greater threat to its business long term.
Yeah, I suppose I hadn't thought about how the employees feel. I only feel how a user feels. We're talking with Will Oremus of Slate Magazine. He's chief technology writer, about Mark Zuckerberg's impending 2 days of testimony before Congress starts tomorrow. You mentioned earlier, Will, that we're not likely to see any real regulation come out of this, but you have said that there's a legal tweak that could hold Facebook accountable for what users post on its platform. What is that, and how likely is it?
Yeah, so there is a law that was passed in 1996 called the Communications Decency Act, and there's a provision of that, Section 230, that I'm not a legal expert, so I'm not going to pretend to know everything about it, but the gist is that it says if you are an internet platform, you are not necessarily responsible for everything that your users post online. That is the shield that has enabled Facebook and YouTube and Twitter to grow so big and to become these giant services used by hundreds of millions of people without having to police everything that people say. Now, I don't know that there is any specific proposal to change Section 230 aside from a recent tweak that dealt with sex trafficking in particular. However, that law is sort of the linchpin of the freedom these companies enjoy to run communication tools at a mass scale without having to moderate everything people say. If that were to change in some respect, if there were to be an erosion of that provision, that would really impact these companies' business because they rely on the ability to use software to build tools at scale that people can use however they want. If Facebook had to be policing everything people say, it would just fundamentally change the business. They would probably have to have 10 times more employees or 100 times more employees than they do.
Is this the first time social media has collided with democracy in the way that we're seeing it?
Yes and no. So social media collided with politics in a really visible way during the Arab Spring 5 or 6 years ago. And there it was actually celebrated by many in the West for its role, because in authoritarian regimes, without a free press and without protections on free speech, social media gave people a new way to organize and to share ideas that were that went against the regimes, and we saw regimes toppled as a result. I think now we're seeing a sort of flip side of that, where in democratic countries, Facebook and other social media companies are really machines of influence. They're a way for advertisers to reach the right people at the right time and to manipulate them in a way, you could say persuade them based on their biases, their preferences, their habits. It can be used to influence voters in elections, and it can be used by organized agents like Cambridge Analytica, like political campaigns, in the same way that advertisers use it to try to get people to buy stuff. They're trying to get people to buy, say, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or the Brexit Leave campaign. And that is a new kind of collision I think we're seeing, and a downside in democratic countries.
Just curious, Will, are you still on Facebook?
I am still on Facebook. I was a pretty early user. My college was the third one it came to, I think. I will say that I post almost nothing about my son on Facebook. Just out of, you know, I've sort of become increasingly aware of the fact that Facebook is always building up profiles on you. It's even building up profiles on people who don't use Facebook, because when you mention a friend or when you upload your address book to the Facebook app, it collects data on all those people, builds shadow profiles. You never know who could get information to that, who could get access to that information down the line or how it might be used. My son is not old enough to consent, and so I just don't mention him on Facebook as a precaution.
Given us a lot to think about. Will Oremus, senior technology writer at Slate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks again.
Will also co-hosts Slate's new technology podcast, If Them. And by the way, we're going to be carrying Mark Zuckerberg's congressional testimony tomorrow. Starts live at 11 a.m. Pacific time. This is The Record.